Y'all watch basketball like that? Y'all get into that? Okay. Okay, some of y'all do. There's this, I don't play video games just about ever, unless I pray and feel like God wants me to. But when I have noticed that there's some basketball video games, and on one of those video games, it's just kind of fun because he's bouncing, dribbling the ball, and then he makes some kind of jiggly move, and he goes, and he's like really running down the court. This is a video game. And somehow if you press the buttons or get real going or something, you get like, he's on fire. And then the ball goes boom, and there's this flame coming out of the ball. And he's going up. I just saw that. It's just kind of a funny thing. He's on fire. And he's going down the court, and the ball's on fire, and he goes and dunks. And he's like, okay, so I just like that. I just happen to like that. But there's something about fire that there's something about, you know, when you're facing dullness, deadness, or you're facing fire. There's something different about that. I'm so convinced that, you know, I like to go out and roast marshmallows and y'all eat s'mores? Y'all like s'mores? And then you do? Okay, some people do. It's a cultural experience. Let's put it that way. It's good. I like it. But I have my parents, they have lots of field, and we get out and do the fire s'mores, things like that. There's something about fire when you look at it. It's something about something burning, something flaming. There's something revolutionary about that. And God uses it. God uses it a whole lot throughout the Bible. Let's click through here. Is God in you? Isn't God a consuming fire? Isn't God a consuming fire? Isn't he? Isn't that what this Bible says? Is God in you? How would you dare answer yes if your life was cold? Because God is a consuming
fire.
There's something special. We're talking about fire here because we're not talking about how you getting fire. What do you got going?
Not much.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about there's something different when something happens to someone and they're going down the court and they're basketball busting and there's this voice that comes out of nowhere. And he's on fire. There's something about a life that everyone looks at that and they're like, that guy's got something. You know, you can look at it like, you know, and back in the day, I don't know, I don't even know if Michael Jordan is still out there, but back in the day, it's like, I want to be like Mike and all this kind of stuff or whatever. And maybe is there anyone else out there that's cool now? Okay, Kobe. I don't even know. I'm out of the loop. But whatever the case is, there's something about it. When you see, what is his name, Kobe? Is it Kobe Bryant? But there's something about these guys, in my day, it was Michael Jordan. And there's something about these days, you look at someone, you're like, there's something different about that basketball player. He's got something everyone has. He's got fire. He's different. So what does he say? What does God say? It says, for the Lord your God is a consuming
fire,
a jealous God. He's a consuming fire, for our God is a consuming fire. This is my favorite. This is one of my favorite all-time of Jesus. Look at what it says of Jesus. John, you know, John's like, he's real close to Jesus. He's real affectionate toward Jesus in a good way. And they're really good friends. And on earth, you know, Jesus is walking around. John is like the closest guy to Jesus. And then, Jesus he dies, he lives in the dead, he goes up to heaven. John is like finally persecuted for Jesus, exiled on this island, and all of a sudden he starts seeing these crazy visions. Boom, the sky opens up, and there's voices, and there's all this crazy stuff going on, and he starts seeing stuff, and he says in here, Revelation 1:12, his eyes were like a flame of fire, his feet were like fine brass, as it burned in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Can someone say, Jesus is on
fire?
Jesus is burning. Our God is a consuming fire. Is he real? How's your life? Are we burning? Is God inside of you? Cool? No. I have to do something. Sam, here's a piece. Is God in you? Now maybe the real question is God a consuming fire? Is it in you? That's the question. That's the question. God is a consuming fire. If you still don't believe me, we got tons of Bible verses about this. Hold right there for just a second. It says, God is a consuming fire. You can check this out when you get a chance. Actually, 1918, it was Mount Sinai, it was all together on smoke because the moon had descended on it. In
fire.
Thank you. He descended it in fire, and the smoke of it descended in the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked greatly. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring
fire.
Thank you. It was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. What do you look like to me? I hope so. Thank you. I hope so. Because it says in Revelation 4:5, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of
fire
burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. That makes things hot. Fire. That's what God likes. He's God looks down on earth, and he's looking down on earth, and he's like looking at Chris, and he's like, Chris, are you embracing the revelation? Are you on fire? God wants to see us walking down the aisle. He wants us dancing that ball. He wants it to burst in fire. And he wants it alive. He wants it burning. God likes this hot. When God made a covenant with Abraham, we call that the Abrahamic covenant. That's in Genesis 15:17. It describes God like a fire there. He's like a lamp burning. Sacrifice and all this kind of stuff. There's the burning bush in Exodus 3:2. There's the pillar of fire and all these places in Exodus, Numbers, and everywhere else, even in Nehemiah, okay, pillar of fire. There's plenty. God is fire. And what does it say? There's something about this guy that he's got all this hair everywhere. He's wearing leather belt. He's like, this man's working. There's like hair going everywhere. And he's got dressed in his leather. He's out in the wilderness all by himself, and he comes. Can you imagine? I mean, God. This is God doing this, and he made Elijah. I mean, he made Elijah, but Harry, and he made. That was where they recognized Elijah. John the Baptist, by the way, is the second for Elijah. And so he's a type. If you're repeating things throughout the Bible, and so John is called the Elijah that has become. So Elijah was recognized as a hairy dude. And John the Baptist, God kind of sets him up for it, because he says, he's a Nazarite from birth, and he doesn't cut his hair, ever. So he's hairy. And he did. He never cut his hair for his whole life. So this guy's got hair. He's just hairy. He's got leather everywhere, and he's rough. He probably stinks really bad. And he's not in the desert! This isn't just like insulting to John the Baptist, this is like, God set this up to this guy. He looks, this is God's wild. Like, what is this guy coming out of the wilderness? And he starts preaching this revolutionary message. And people are coming to him and saying, you brought a viper's repent. He's like, whoa, this guy is wild. And people are flocking to him because they know John the Baptist is on
fire.
They know it because something happened to John the Baptist. But he became on fire for Jesus, for God. Look at what Jesus said to him. I want so bad for Jesus to say this about me. I want so bad. Look at what Jesus, look at what he said. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his life. That's the way Jesus is like, John the Baptist, that wild guy with all that hair? You know who he is? He's on
fire!
He's on fire because John the Baptist, man, this guy is, he's wild to compare to the world standards. And let's keep clicking here. What does God demand from us? Look at Revelation. He does. What does he demand? What do you think by now? What do you think God demands us? He demands
fire.
He does. Look at Revelation. Like you could say, that's just John the Baptist. He's just a crazy haired guy out in the desert. You could say that. But that's not what God teaches us. In Revelation 3:15, I know your works, but you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. So do you see this? Do you see this? John the Baptist was on fire. And God's calling us to be, he hasn't called us to live in the open life. Because he really wants God to be disappointed. This is because I have a limited cord. And Chris is a really nice guy. I don't know him, but I like him. But, Chris, God wants your life, he wants your revolution. He wants something that's hot. Something that's alive. Something that's bright. He doesn't want you to be an adult, dead, warm life, trapped in sin, flirting with girls. Nothing. He doesn't want that. Chris, God created man and woman to marry. You get that? He didn't create them for a broken girlfriend. Okay? I know in American culture we teach you to date in MR and stuff. Okay, good. Joseph says no. What do y'all think?
No.
No is the right answer. Okay, so marriage. It's for marriage. Can everyone say marriage?
Marriage.
Okay. Yes, the fire in that sense. It's for marriage. Marriage. 1 Timothy 5, go read it, go live by it. If you have those handouts, you see, you can go to the website I've got there. I put a bunch of Bible verses on there and things like that. But I've got this, it's the No Being Scripture. These are good verses. I cannot tell you, how much I wish you had said it. I can't tell you. I'm feeling, folks, this is for real. I do one-on-one counseling with some folks and the faculty. I can't stress, girls that are giving my heart away and how much that messes them up, guys that are messed up. I can't express. I wish someone had told them or me when we were age. I encourage you to get into this at some point in your chance. But he basically comes against flirting, he comes against dating, and it's good that, dating in the sense of pursuing romance outside of marriage and indulging them and things like that. But in 1 Timothy 5:2, he says some good stuff. He says, don't rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him, which is basically like really submissive. It's like, asking him, please consider this. Exhort him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters with all purity. Younger women as sisters with all purity. After marriage, romance is for marriage, okay? But read 1 Timothy 5, okay? 1 Timothy 5. Thessalonians says that there is romantic fire. Thessalonians says if you go beyond this limit, that God is a judge of the danger of that, okay? That's a good lesson. So I, Chris, all your life, don't mess around, okay? Okay? Okay. It's for marriage. Do y'all parents teach on that? Good. Please. God. That's good. Okay. So let's keep going. So the message is basically, your parents are right, okay? Obey the B-I-B-L-E because it's the book for you. And I hope it is true. Okay. Okay, so, here's some of the applications. We're going back to applications. One of the first applications is, God requires
fire!
It requires burning, something hot, something revolutionary. Fear God. You know, John the Baptist, he came preaching this revolution. He came preaching this revolution. And he didn't do it in the most gentle way that you might have expected him to. He's very courageous and everything like that. But what he basically had was this attitude of, is that it's a revolution, it's all or nothing, and fear God, he says, repent. He says, he's going to get right. So this is the reaction of Paul, because he says, we're all going to stand for the judgment of God. Knowing, therefore, the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Some people, you know, I'll be reading the Bible, verses or something like that. Like, oh, fear has to come. You know? Yeah, I mean, I know the fear of the Lord, that we're going to stand before his judgment. If it's fear or if it's by kindness, whatever, you need to get right. Fear God, respond, repent, serve the Lord with fear. Look at this. This is very uncomfortable for me. I never heard anyone read this verse. I wonder why. Serve the Lord with fear and with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. And his wrath is coming for a little. You see what it contrasts with. Blessed are all those that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son. So fear God. You know, have affection for him. Like, isn't that crazy? Kiss Jesus or else he's mad. That's kind of hard for me. But it says, I don't know if I have that verse right here, but it says, whoever does not, most translations just says, whoever does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. In other words, the word is phileo, and it's not just love, it's like whoever doesn't affectionately, But he says, whoever does not affectionately love the Lord Jesus Christ, which translated as kiss, actually, throughout the Bible sometimes. So, yeah, for, like, demonstrated natural affection. Some of the times you get translated as kiss, it actually is phileo, the same word. For whoever does not play the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. That's really rough. So the question is, are you affectionate to Jesus? I hope so. Kiss the Son, lest you be angry. Kiss him with trembling fear to put your trust in him. Anyway, there's a lot of verses about the fear of God. The fear, Hebrews 10:31 says, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. He says, you will be feared. You know, the power of anger. Talks about fearing God a whole lot throughout the Bible. Whether it's the hard verses or not, I haven't presented to you the whole Bible. Right? I haven't. But what I have presented to you is some really hardcore verses. And I'm hoping that it will put something inside of you for a revolution. It'll put something inside of you to burn for Jesus. To give everything you've got to him. Because when you see him for who he really is, then it's not a plastic thing. You can't just add another thing onto your thing. You've got to put that off. You got to pay the price of discipleship. The cost of discipleship is your whole life. It's everything. Whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. It's everything. Now your life, compared to heaven and Jesus and glory and faith and sin and life, eternal, you're not paying for that. But you do have to take off the past of him. You do have to forsake all the following him. You do have to give up the worthless life you have apart from him to follow him. So this is sort of what I'm encouraging. Pray God, open up my eyes. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And basically, if you're not forsaking all for Jesus, you're still seeing the past. You still got blinded. And I'm hoping that some of our hearts are going to be crying out, Lord, open my eyes. Like, kind of ask yourself, what ways have you treated God like a plastic man? Open my eyes. Let me see who you really are. Worth everything and way more. Cry out in the view like James says. Remember we talked about hunger and thirsting in Christ. You're seeking and you're finding and you're searching with all your heart. Basically, this stuff is important to me because I remember what it was like to live in depression, compromise and things like that. I grew up all my life. I went all kind of sin and I was beat up in the town. Ladies and saints, I was working my way into hell. I just remember something, I remember that there's just this reality that says, know your sin will find you. I heard sometimes it's good. And I remember what it's like to be in darkness. I remember what it's like to be hopeless. And we will do those things alike. And I'm hoping that, obviously I don't know you, Chris, a lot of you like Christians, but perhaps there are some that are even just giving themselves the same. I don't know. But perhaps there are some that are just not committing all the way. Perhaps there are some that, it's like, there's something missing. Why am I not giving it all? And tonight, God wants to produce something inside of you that lights the flame that burns inside. And so I remember what it's like. I remember just laying on the bed missionary. And I've been raised my whole life with the mentality that as long as you can justify disobeying the Bible, somehow your mom will be with that. And so I got to the point where I said, I can't live any more to you. I have to change. I have to do something. And so I got rid of all the known things and things like that. And I remember, this is one of these first defining moments in my life where I walked out of the church parking lot and I said, everything I've experienced with my life, living dead, depressed, suicidal, in life, I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired. I remember walking out in the parking lot and I had gotten rid of some things that I was doing. I remember looking up and just walking and I'm like, there's got to be someone out there, somewhere, who can help me get out of here. There has to be. And I remember feeling so desperate to be free, so depressed, so oppressed. I was like, I stopped everything I knew was wrong. Why am I so depressed? And it was about maybe within the same month or so, very shortly after, through a lot of different events, I ended up in this Bible study, this school that we were going to go to. And I remember this Monday night Bible study. And I'm sitting there with some unknown things and some that I was like, I'm not really sure if they're saying or not. And I remember looking at the guy and he was teaching a Bible study and longing. I walked in the Bible study. I'm like, this guy's different. This guy's got everything I've ever wanted in life. There's something about this guy. He's teaching. He's alive. He believes the Bible. That guy's got everything I want. Whatever it is, I didn't know. I didn't know all these verses. I just read these tonight. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew this guy's got something I want. He's alive. He's got Jesus. He's what he had. And I remember that basically started my like, okay, that's it. That's it. He preached a bunch of stuff that convicted me right to the heart. I'm like, oh, that's it. I can't do this anymore. I'm going home, get rid of all these garbage in my room, get start throwing stuff out, getting rid of everything. That doesn't honor God. And I'm just going through my whole room. And for whatever reason, it was hard for the first few years. I won't go into all these things, but there's really, really bad spiritual things going on. Even at the same time, I'm trying to get a hold of God. I've got to get right. Why can't I get right? And something happened about 3 years in, as I was going after Jesus, that about 3 years into it, God, I tried everything to get through some of these things, and God blew apart my life. He changed things. He put his favor on me. And somehow, I remember the day that I was kind of walking or whatever, and I knew I enjoy living. What? you mean I became, God changed, started changing, breaking things, and I didn't even know what was going on, but I was changing it, he was breaking things, started moving, powerful, and I was like, oh. And I started feeling God's favor, God likes me, what? And there's something about what happened with God touched my life, and it's, anyway, I'm hoping that I'll encourage y'all. I went after Jesus and I said, everything that I followed all of my life is every day. But what did make me alive was God. When God got a hold of me, God did stuff in me. When I embraced Jesus' revolution, things changed amazing. Things changed all the way. And so I want to encourage y'all to embrace God's revolution today. I'm gonna hang out here. I don't know if we can just kind of play some music in the background. I'm gonna hang out here. And I'd love to pray with you. Like, if you have any questions, remember, there's a lot of you who read that are very hard to understand and whatever. So ask people, write questions down. If you want prayer for anything, come up. If you realize that God's coming in the heart and out of you, you can you have so many lives, and anything like that, too, that is things you can't get right. And if you're mediocre and not always going to pray, you can use this gift and praise your resolution. Be hardcore for him. Be all the way for him. We pray that you would help us to become alive in you. We pray that you, well, I'm asking that you would make us different, that you make us alive. If we've been complacent, that you would burn us, that you would change us, that you would make us alive. I know we've only got a little bit of time, but would you burn us? Would you make us different? Would you make us hardcore? We want to be, I want everyone in this room, I want us to be like the kind of Baptist who is a bright and burning lamp, a bright and burning shining lamp before you. We want to be revolutionary for you. We want to forsake all to pay the price for discipleship, to follow you. We want to give up this worthless life. It's not even a 50-cent man to get the great and unbelievable calling and greatness of following you. And we thank you that you called us to a revolution. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.